Be reading from 1 Samuel 2, the verses 1 through 11. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly, so let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who are hungry no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap. He sets them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. On them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Most High will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, but the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. The word of God.
That's quite the song. And it was sung by a woman named Hannah. Hannah was a lady who had much sorrow in her life. She was an Israelite, and she was barren. She was unable to conceive children. And a woman of her time and place, to be barren was a tragedy for her. That which should have given her value and dignity and a role in society was withheld from her. It was really important for married women to have children. Not only was this poor lady barren, but her husband had another wife as well, a woman named Penina. This lady had lots of children, and she was not kind, and she was not merciful to Hannah. Penina made Hannah's life miserable, relentlessly cruel, heartless, making her feel like the most abandoned person on the earth. Now, Hannah's husband was a guy named Elkanah, and from every indicator, he was a good man. He was kind, he was honorable, he was a gracious fellow. He was in love with Hannah. He loved his wife and said, "Hannah, even if society says you don't have value, you know my love for you, and doesn't that give value?" But it didn't take away the fact that she was so broken by the situation she was in. Now, one day, Hannah went to the house of the Lord, and she poured out her heart to God and begged him for help in this. And She was so passionate in her prayer that she was praying silently, but her lips were moving as she was talking. And the priest saw her and thought she was drunk. And the priest named Eli went to her and started telling her off. Like, you wicked woman, coming into the house of the Lord intoxicated and making a scene of yourself. And she said, "Sir, no, that's not what I'm doing. I'm not drunk. I'm asking God." And she told him her story, and he could see her faith and blessed her. And Eli the priest asked God to answer her prayer, to grant her request. And the wonderful thing is, God indeed answered. Hannah and Elkanah, in due time, had a son. And on his birth, Hannah said, "This son I will dedicate to the Lord." They named him Samuel. And when he was weaned, probably toilet trained, I'm assuming old enough to understand direction and obey, he was brought to the house of God where Hannah had prayed and received this word of grace from the priest, and put her little boy into the care of the priest so that he could grow up in the house of God and be a servant of God dedicated to the kingdom. And it's in that context that this song that we read, that Rob read for us from 1 Samuel 2, takes place. It's a song sung in the context of blessing. But it's not a song about Hannah, and it's not a song about Samuel. It is a song about the Lord. It is a song about God. And in that, it is a powerful declaration. It is a lyrical statement of faith. And it is a word of encouragement to all who are weak, to people who are disenfranchised, people who are marginalized, people who are disrespected, people who are feeling forsaken, who are hurt or lonely or lost. This is a song for them. It's for those who experience the sneers of those who deem themselves mighty and superior and push others down. And this is the message of the song. This is it. That God has the power to transform the lives of those who call out to him. That God, he indeed has the power. He is able to transform the smallest, the weakest, the most marginalized. And not only is he able, the song says that he is willing. Willing to intervene in the toughest of situations. The sadder someone is, the more hopeless someone feels, God says, "Here I am, and I am going to intervene in your life." This teaching from 1 Samuel 2 means that there are implications to faith. For both the one who is in need and for those who are in positions of power, both the oppressed and the oppressor need to hear the words of 1 Samuel chapter 2. Those that are humble are lifted up. God will lift up those who are humble. But those who are arrogant, those who cling to their power, they are people who will be humbled. Those who are strong and rich, those who are well-resourced, those who use their strength and their money and their privilege as weapons to engage the battle against others. The Word of God says, look out, because your time is coming. God does not allow those who are small and being smothered to be destroyed by those who are strong and rich and wicked. Now, in our fallen world and in our fallen lives, it is maybe natural. It seems natural that we think that people who are rich and powerful have rights, the right to use all of their wealth and all of their power for our own self-advantage. One of the great heresies that is in our society in terms of the Christian church is this whole prosperity gospel. Maybe you've heard of it. The prosperity gospel says that if you are a good person, then God will reward you with money and power. And if you are poor and weak, it's because you are not a person of faith. And if you are a person of money and power, you are blessed by God and you have the right to use your power and your money in any way that it suits you because it is a gift from God to you. So live it up. Don't worry about what it does to others. And that is a heresy that challenges us. We don't like to hear this. But we must remember that in the Bible, time and time and time again, it speaks to people of wealth and gives a word of warning. How hard it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus says it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And he wasn't speaking of anything except a real camel and a real needle. The fact is that is impossible. It is impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. It is impossible for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven unless, and hear this, unless there is a miracle. God is the God of miracle, and God can put a camel through the eye of a needle, but only God can. Now, we live in 2018 Canada. We're worshiping in this beautiful place. We are all rich. There are other times in history when the poorest among us today would be the richest person in the world of another time. We are all rich. And for any of us to enter the kingdom of heaven, a miracle is required. The bigger your wealth, the bigger the miracle is needed, but God is able to do great big miracles. Your wealth does not challenge the capacity of God to do a miracle in your life and bring you into the kingdom of heaven. So if you are rich, pray for a miracle so that you can be snatched from the poverty that could await, which you can hardly even imagine. If you are a person who says, well, actually, I feel poor. I feel poor in one way or another. It's not just money. Sometimes poverty comes in terms of relationships. Sometimes poverty comes in understanding. If you are poor and weak, but humbly put your trust and hope in the Lord, then there is good news for you. And the good news is that you have an inheritance coming. Your weakness will be turned to strength. Our text gives all kinds of examples of this great turnaround, of weak becoming strong. It says that those who have overfull bellies, those who sit at tables that are groaning with food, but have no stomach for sharing with those who are hungry, who hoard and protect their table so that no one else can eat from it, you yourself, in time, will find yourself reduced to hunger. And those who stand on the outside, look through the windows to see the table, and in their hunger, long for that, know that in the Lord's time, you will be satisfied. Or another example in the song, which was for Hannah intensely personal, the one who is childless will be granted the blessing of family and love. But the one who has many children but does not thank the Lord or love her neighbor will ultimately find herself abandoned to loneliness. And the one who has none to love will find herself surrounded by a circle of care. Indeed, the Word of God says that God is the God of life and of death. He is the Lord over all creation, that everything we love to have and own and control is a gift from Him, and He expects us to use it to build the kingdom, to demonstrate what it means to have a gift from God that you return for the blessing of others to the glory of God. This text teaches us that there are social and societal implications to our resurrection faith. Being followers of Christ has direct and immediate consequences. We are not what we were before we experienced grace. Before we knew God, we lived for ourselves. We didn't think about eternal consequences. We didn't try to build something that is godly and good and eternal. And when we do experience grace, our priorities change. And we say, we will build the kingdom of God. We will be obedient to the call. We will show that we are indeed experiencers of blessing. We are not identical to the callousness of people caught up in the selfishness, the arrogance, the uncompassionate way, the manners and values of those that do not know God. And this is a test. This is a way that we can examine Are we people who have received the grace of God? Are we people who have internalized the gospel and let it be that transforming work in us so that we can be evidences of God in the world? Do people see the love of God in our love for others? Do people see the patience of God in our patience with one another? Do we live and act like followers of Christ, or do we not? It's not that hard to know. Hannah's song ends by reminding us that God is the judge, and that he pronounces his judgment over all that is broken and unholy and unkind, and then acts in our lives to implement those judgments. Those who are faithful trust in God's promises, receive God's gifts, and keep their vows to God, and ultimately and surely are blessed. And those who are wicked, who rely on their own strength, on their own power, their own money or whatever, they will fall before the Lord. May it be said of us that we are a gentle people. May it be said of us that we are a community that cares for the people on the margins. May it be said of us that we look to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ as our hope and as our master. May it be said of us that we have been transformed by God and are obedient to Christ. May it be said of us that we live for him in obedience and joy. Let's hear a message of encouragement in this. And let's be ready to let the Spirit change us, transform us, that we might be recognized together as the children of God. Would you pray with me, please? Father in heaven, we thank you that Hannah sang a beautiful song. Not an easy song, but it's true. Would you help us to be people who experience the miracle of grace, that you might lead we camels through that needle, so that we can come out the other side as people who are obedient, who demonstrate the graces of your Spirit. Help us, Lord. Give us wisdom. Give us grace. The ability to follow your transforming lead. And this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.